I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
It's time now for What to Watch, and I'm joined in studio by Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist, and John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time here on News Talk. Lovely to see you both.
You too.
Let's start with you, Serena. After the Hunt.
I was hoping we weren't going to start with this, Ciara, but let's go.
Okay, I know. Look, we're going to go in with the week and then we're going to end on a big high, a big finish, I've decided. So tell me, first of all, about the cast and what this is generally about.
So this has been, like, the hype around this has been amazing. It's been called the film to come out after the Me Too movement. In Venice, I am never, ever, ever, and I say this every year, but I'm never, ever going to believe those standing ovations again.
Can I intervene for one second?
Yes.
I've had so many people, directors and even actors say, but it got us, and they go, and journalists, years later, they applaud everything at these things.
Yeah.
Or everyone's in town and they put, you really can't trust the ovations, in my experience.
I've seen that down at the Bord Gáis, up for every single performance. And you know what? Some of them aren't great, folks, and no. We just should own that.
And do you, okay, here's some, we will get back onto movies. When that happens, do you sit down or do you get up? Because I stay in my seat.
No,
bad?
I feel
keep
bad.
Pressure.
You got to get up. No, people would talk about
rude.
You. Yeah, you got to get up, but I'm doing it reluctantly.
I
anyhow, back to movies.
I was 5 hours delayed on a flight to Kerry 2 weeks ago.
And they applauded at the end of that.
Everyone applauded, and for the first time ever, I applauded when a flight landed.
I can understand. But anyway, let's get back to After the Hunt, which this has got a phenomenal cast. We're looking at Julia Roberts, Andrew Garfield, Ayo Edebiri. It's a psychological drama about a college professor who's played by Julia Roberts, and she's finding herself at a real personal and professional crossroads. She has a friendship with a star student who's played by Ayo Edebiri. But when she comes in and says, do you know what? The professor who's played by Andrew Garfield has actually crossed the line. That's when Julia Roberts goes, what do I do? Because it's not always, this is a terrible thing to say, but it's not always clear cut.
Okay, so a star student that she's a friendship with makes an accusation against one of her colleagues.
You describe that better than me and you haven't there even you seen the film.
Just thought I'd summarise that for people at home who might be a little confused. Okay,
yes,
so I can see why this was seen as the big movie that was going to sort of put into drama the Me Too movement.
And Luca Guadagnino is the director of this. I absolutely loved Call Me By Your Name. Didn't really love Challengers. This falls into the same boat. This goes for over 2 hours.
Mm.
And you're going, can I just say from the very beginning, you cannot fault the performances. Julia, I don't know what it is about Julia Roberts. Whatever she does, whether she's doing a comedy, something really light or something really tough, you are with her the whole way and believing every emotion she's portraying. So the performances are great. Because it's Luca, it looks stunning. Costume, set, but for me, it just didn't hit. It felt like it was trying to be very intellectual and too intellectual. And as a result, it wasn't really saying anything. I wasn't sure what it was trying to say. What message are you trying to get across?
One of these movies with sort of purposeful ambiguity. No thanks.
No, and that's the thing, because they say at the end of it, we want you to go away and talk about it and keep thinking about it. And yeah, you will talk about it, but I'm talking about it going, what am I supposed to be getting from this? And a movie with this many stars and with this director and with this topic should be incredible. People are talking about Oscars. Julia's performance is amazing. I think this film might let her down and she will not be nominated for an Oscar given the film.
Okay, you, John, have been to see Kathryn Bigelow's new movie, a nuclear thriller called House of Dynamite.
Yeah, House of Dynamite. This, thankfully, is an incredible watch. It's in cinemas at the moment and it's been in cinemas since last week. It's not going to Netflix till next Friday, the 24th of October, which means the people at Netflix thinks there could be Oscar consideration here. I'd say it's possible. So what we have, Catherine Bigelow, first woman ever, which sounds bizarre, doesn't it, to win an Oscar for Best Director.
It's mad. For The Hurt Locker, wasn't
Zero
it?
Zero Dark Thirty, but she won for The Hurt Locker. Mm. She's a brilliant director, and she's back to her best in this. So what we have is 19 minutes of real time told in a few different scenarios where a missile or something flying in the sky appears to be landing in Chicago. And we have a situation room where Rebecca Ferguson is in charge. We see her leaving her son playing with a dinosaur and heading into something she thinks is, oh, this is just some errand drone or something. Then it ratchets up and up and up. Then we go to the White House where Idris Elba is at a girls' basketball game. He's the president of America. His tension ratchet and ratchet up. And then we see another situation place where we're watching this unfold. So this is a nuclear disaster possibly about to happen, told in three different ways. If you remember The Hurt Locker, it was so edge of your seat, nerve shredding. This is exactly like this. But it's also, this sounds like a crazy thing to say about nuclear annihilation or the possibility of it. This is really entertaining. This isn't a short film.
Like I'm entertaining as away. In, not funny, it's not comedic.
It's not funny at all, but it's gripping. It's utterly gripping. Even though you, I don't want to say too much about it, but we're not sure if this bomb is going to land or not for a long part of it. And yet you're just hooked and hooked. And even though you know what 19 minutes are playing out in each of the different scenarios, it's really gripping. She's certainly going to be nominated for a Best Director Oscar again, I would imagine, from this. And Rebecca Ferguson, who was a guest on Screen Time last week, was terrific in it. She really is. Because
and it's one of the things I love about Catherine Bigelow, apart from the fact she's a female director, and yes, we're all behind that, is that she gives women these really strong, powerful leading roles that are not about being a female at all. No. They just happen to be female, and obviously I support that.
And it's completely like it, her gender is so indifferent in this, in a way, if you know what I mean. But hats off, Idris Elba is a great president. You would imagine a kind of wish fulfillment president on Catherine Bigelow's part in a certain sense. You
know? Okay. How long does this go for?
I think it's 2 hours, but it flew by. I could be wrong. I can't remember, which is a good sign. I certainly don't remember feeling I was there too long.
Okay, because obviously anything over 2 hours for you, Serena, it's has got to be top notch.
Exactly.
And that's your cutoff point. Yeah.
I can't blame her. But I was in the lighthouse and there was a lot of talk lately about people checking phones and all that. No one had a phone out. Rapt attention.
Okay. Your next recommendation is 2 hours and 6 minutes. So pressure on the roof man, but I really like the sound of this.
It is so, I'm going to tell you from the beginning, I was hooked from the very beginning. This is how you do 2 hours and 6 minutes. I don't know what I would call in this. This is based on a true story. So a lot of people may have heard there was this man who was an army veteran in the States. He was down on his luck and he just wanted to support his family. This is where it's really hard to sort of just go, but you're a criminal. There's always a story that we don't know about, right? So he wanted to support his family and he was just like, I know what I can do. He literally cut holes in McDonald's roofs and lowered himself into McDonald's and then would really kindly rob the staff. Like there was one day he was bringing the staff outside and it was freezing. He gave the staff the coat. It was like, get your coat. I don't have one. Get your coat. I don't have one. All right, take my coat. So he was leaving his DNA and everything behind. But anyway, he was caught, and this is not a spoiler because he was caught. He was taken to jail, and then from jail, he successfully escaped. He's a very smart man. Mm. Successfully escaped and then ended up doing the same. Ended up living at Toys R Us for 6 months in America. And this tells
he was undetected all
undetected.
That time.
He was incredible. Tells that story, but it's more than just that. Like that is a story in its own. It's basically a man's search for love as well and connection with people and playing, I'm going to say co-starring alongside Channing Tatum, who is brilliant in this, and I wouldn't be surprised if his name is thrown around come award season, is Kirsten Dunst. And she's brilliant in this. I was captivated the whole way through. The two of them had me rooting for each of them.
It's a love story in ways?
You can call it a love story because there's this romance part of it, but it's also love as in he is searching for love, connection with his fellow human beings as well, and just trying to have a good life. Unfortunately, he's had to resort to crime to get there. It is intriguing. It is so well done. It is by the director of Conclave. Oh, is it this one?
Edward Berger, is it?
Yeah. Oh, no, hold on. No, it's not. Sorry. No. It's not by the director of Conclave. That's another movie.
The director of Conclave made Ballad of a Small Player.
Is one that I don't want to talk about. But also in this is Ben Mendelsohn, who's an Australian actor. Yeah. And I think you put him and you put Peter Dinklage in any film, they are always going, they're never in it for long enough, but whatever they do fabulously. This is such an interesting, intriguing it's also thrilling as well, but in a very different way to the movie you were talking about.
And is he a Robin Hood character?
He keeps it for himself, right? Okay, but he keeps it for himself because not always, but he just wants to make the lives of those around him better.
Because he's a father. Yeah. And that's one of his motivations.
There's a lot of social commentary in that as well.
It's directed by Derek Keane France.
There we go. Yeah, what's he done?
Elvis.
Two movie buffs on the spot.
Definitely not the guy from Conclave. That's another film that we'll don't know who that is.
I love the look of it. It actually looks like it's fun. You should see the imagery of it is him with a massive teddy bear on his head. I presume that's a reference to Toys R Us. Okay.
It is incredible.
I was really excited to see this as your second recommendation, John Friday, because I lost a lot of time watching the first two series by myself secretly in the afternoon in December. The Diplomat. It's
back. I thought you were going to say Paw Patrol. No. The Diplomat season 3. Here's the good news. I couldn't get over how good this is in. 4 episodes in. Now, the thing is, there's a massive spoiler at the end of episode 1 that all the reviews are giving away, but I'm not going to, if that's okay, because I just don't think it's fair, but it turns the show on its head. I think it's okay to say that. For people who don't know, Kerry Russell plays an ambassador and a diplomat, and then she has this husband played brilliantly by Rufus Swale, who looks like Adam Ant, I always think, who is her great defender, but they have a weird marriage. It's, you know, open boundaries at times, but yet it's also loving. He smells her armpits to say if she needs a shower. I don't mean that weirdly. I mean, they are very together and they're both mostly rooting for each other's career.
But also she kind of can't live with him, but she can't live without him.
Exactly. And he had a career as well. She, when we meet her in episode 1, is in ascendancy, but he's in the background. There's all this stuff going on between America and London. Season 2 ended with a serious death. Season 3 has Alison Janney as vice president. She may be becoming more, that's all I'll say. But I was starting to think maybe it's season 2, have they run out of steam? And I thought, this is more the same. But it grabbed me by the seat of the pants.
I have to say, I thought the best addition to season 2 was Alison Janney. Yeah. And I am so happy to hear that she is back, because her relationship with the main character was just magnetic to watch on screen.
Well, it's funny you say that, because they've clearly copped onto that, because 4 episodes in, they are mining that seam. So I was really pleasant. Not that I didn't enjoy the first 2. I thought they were great, but I just thought, we've probably seen all this, but so far it's really been really entertaining.
Is it a change?
No, it's daft. But
it is
really
a wee bit daft. Okay, yeah. We're not talking The Wire here. No, you know, no. We're
and
not
her hair. Like, we still are having issues with her hairstyle and stuff. One minute's really well done and the next minute's really, like, the continuity
isn't great. But when you're a diplomat, you know, you get sweaty. I'm surprised to hear you say that, Serena.
Oh, no, it's the continuity. It's not anything.
She's sort of, it should be called the reluctant diplomat, to be clear, because she's not comfortable in the role.
Is there a permanent change of location, though? Because that final episode season 2 was her going off to...
That's kind of getting into spoiler territory, which I really don't want to, because I'm really surprised at the reviews, because something happens at the, I think it's about 40 minutes into episode 1, and it changes its on its head in a very interesting way.
Okay, so don't read any of the reviews that are out there in print. Just listen to our recommendation.
And we're saying
here.
It's very good.
And you can get it on
Netflix, baby. I don't know why I put in baby there. That's weird.
Because he's so excited.
Okay, your final recommendation stars the Irish actress Niamh Alger.
And she is the best thing about this. And that's not a bad thing. Yeah. She's incredible in this. I love that she decided she wanted to keep her Irish accent. So it's great to see this. She's not a spy. Basically...
Sorry, we're talking about The Irish Affair.
It's on Sky Atlantic on Thursday nights, tonight at 9 p.m. And it's dropping. It's one of those things that drop weekly. So if you want to binge this, you're going to have to wait for 8 weeks' time. It is 8 episodes long. She is basically... she plays Iris Nixon. She's a genius. And by day she's working as... She's working as a social media, creating harmful content for a social media platform, but by night she's plowing the internet forums and she's solving these complex riddles. This bad guy sees her and says, I want you to come and help us with this. We have this really complex puzzle to solve. It's this new, I'm going to call it AI, but it's not AI. It's that sort of thing. She goes in, she helps them solve the puzzle and goes, actually, this may not be good for mankind. So she goes on the run, and then it's all about trying to capture her and the book of puzzles that she has solved because the bad guys want it, right? It's set in Italy. It's a cat and mouse espionage type thing.
So it's beautiful to look at, I would imagine.
It's stunning to look at. I love that the Italian cops, there are some subtitles in this because the Italian cops are actually speaking Italian. So you have to read the subtitles and stuff. It's really, really good. The action is amazing. Tom Hollander is her co-star. The only thing I will say,
8 episodes is a lot.
Especially in this day and age where we're used to stuff being wrapped up in like 5 or 6. I think I've gone 4 episodes in. I'm just like, I don't know if I could do another 4 episodes. I think as much as it's tight and stuff, sometimes what I will say is there's a lot of back and forward. Like, we're in the present. Let's go back to the past to see what's happened. So it's something that you have to really concentrate on, which is good. But when you're really concentrating, you still don't necessarily understand what's going on. But Neve Algar is great in this. I'm great. Like, I'm really happy to see her career is going from strength to strength.
She's one of the greatest Irish actors. Yeah. She's terrific.
Yeah.
She really is.
But if you're looking for something like this, I think you might enjoy it.
Okay. Your final recommendation, John Faraday, both of you actually not long out of the cinema where I presume you spend a large part of your life, to see Springsteen.
Yeah, Deliver Me From Nowhere. Oh, man. I'm a massive fan. I loved it. I cried at one stage. Mm. The music, we'll talk about it next week or whoever, okay. But there's a scene where they do the full electric Born in the USA. And I'm not just exaggerating for hyperbole purposes. The hairs on the back of my neck were standing up. This is
So just to be clear, this isn't a documentary or a drama doc or anything.
No, this is Jeremy Allen White.
Okay, so it's a biopic
And it's a very small part of Springsteen. It's like a year in his life, coming off the River Tour, making Nebraska in tandem with
Born
in the
USA. It's one of my favourite albums.
Is it?
Nebraska, yeah. Yeah, I love it.
And I've never heard of Nebraska. I came in at sort of Born in the USA, right? But what I found interesting about this is he never wanted to promo Nebraska, never wanted to do any press, never wanted to explain what it was about. And now we have a 2-hour movie telling us what he experienced, and it's done really well.
Because I have to say, the Bruce Springsteen documentary, I wasn't able to stick with that.
Really?
Oh, God, help me. Life is too short. I just found it really indulgent. I just wanted him to wrap it up there, Bruce.
Which documentary now? Sorry.
Was that
okay, is this the one on Broadway?
Yes.
Well, I will admit that he did get very navel-gazy on
Even though
I hate to say that. For someone who isn't a mad fan, it does get a bit like, and then he did this, and yeah, so.
Okay, so it's much better than that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and we are going to discuss that in detail next week, and I'll actually be here for that conversation. Before we go, what's on screen time this week, John?
There's a great new book about the Halloween movies. There are 13 of them now, and the thing's called You Can't Kill the Boogeyman, so a great chat about that time of the year, Halloween movies.
Look forward to it. Can't stand those movies, to be honest.
Me neither.
I scare too easily. John Faraday, presenter of Screen Time, and Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist. Thank you.
Thanks.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.